Also, like, super sad Day 6 did not survive the Thanos snap. Did you? I'm sure, like, literally nobody here didn't expect that joke after this music video. I don't get it. They dissolved away in the video at one point.
Oh! Yeah, no, that was the... Okay, all right, I get it now. I get it now.
The same page.
We're there.
Keep up away.
Hey guys, welcome back to K-Pop Parade. My name's Trinity and I'm throwing Abby for a loop here. I'm going to start just asking random questions every week to see how she responds and reacts and what your off-the-cuff answers are.
Disclaimer, this is a terrible idea.
I mean, you agreed to it, so... Secret question of the week. And because we already know what my answer would be, who in K-pop would you choose to be your best friend?
My best friend.
Your best friend.
Hold on. Minsook.
Really? Reasons?
Because one, he's adorable and I love him. And two, he's older than me, which is unheard of. And three, he loves to clean and I love to not be clean. So we would get along
horribly.
Great. You know, it's fine. And then he is getting his doctorate in music theory. And I think we could talk for a really long time. And he likes to play soccer and I like to watch soccer. This is so stressful.
But that's perfect. Like, that's, I actually, like, once you said him, I was like, oh my gosh, it's because he reads and he's smart and they would have smart people things to talk about.
He is really, really smart. I mean, what K-pop idol is getting their doctorate? Oh, I saw a thing the other day when he was doing a presentation about the Melon Awards while he was on the Melon Awards.
Amazing. Can you imagine the flex?
Yeah, right? He was like, oh, and then here's my group at the number one spot, but it's fine.
It's Everything's fine. NBD.
Whatever, Minsook.
Perfect. I like it. I like your choice. I like your answer. I went through and like thought about, because I always say that Matthew Kim is my best friend because he is. Mm-hmm. But okay. I also, and there's a joke behind that, guys. Matthew Kim is not actually my best friend. I feel like I need to clarify that because you just never know. I super admire the hell out of him, that he is just, he's super inspirational and encouraging, and I love the way that he responds to haters, and he just had found time to design his own clothing line while on a world tour. He's super awesome, and he finds time to work out and take care of himself and encourage their fans.
I feel like there's so much time during a world tour that we don't know about that's probably just
there's gotta
downtime.
Be.
Like 85% of it's probably travel. And they have nothing to do. So, of course, he's going to design a clothing line.
Yeah, but still, think about how tired you are. And then you're probably recording albums and writing other songs and producing other tracks. He's a producer as well. And he releases his own solo stuff, like, on his SoundCloud and stuff. So I imagine that he's doing that during his downtime as well. And finding time to work out and time to take care of himself. Like, I just think that he does a lot and he's awesome. But I also really want to be best friends with Eric Nam. I feel like Eric Nam is that best friend that, like, you've been best friends with your entire life and you've, like, always low-key had a secret crush on, but then you, like, move on because, you know, you'll never be more than best friends, but you're also totally fine with just being best friends. I went through a list of, like, all my groups of who would be my best friends because I thought about this question so hard, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because I was like, I need someone else to think about this question just as hard as I have.
My second answer would have been Yoongi, because he likes to sleep and he likes to drink, and I do both of those things daily.
I do sleep and drink.
And drink. And he's just savage as fuck, and I think we would get along really well.
I love it. I love it. Anyway, breaking into, there was a lot going on this week.
We did a lot of homework for this.
So first things first, we do have to address some sad news.
Sadness.
So Hwal has officially left the group The Boys. They debuted back in 2017 as a 12-member group. Earlier this year, it was announced that he would be taking a hiatus due to health and an ankle injury. On October 21st, it was announced that he would be leaving The Boys permanently. Part of his official departure statement said, quote, after careful deliberation, Hwal expressed his intention to suspend activities due to the reasons such as health and mental burden. Following much discussion with Hwal, his family, and the boys' members, we've decided to respect his decision. Wallace concluding activities as a member of the Boys, and we are greatly apologetic to deliver such news to many fans who may have been waiting for his return. We will continue to provide support for Hall's recovery and future plans. Although he cannot no longer continue as a member of the Boys, we will all be cheering on Hall for his future ahead, and Hall will focus on recovery while also cheering on the Boys' activities. So we ask for the understanding of fans. And here at K-Pop Parade, we also really hope that he continues forward healthy and happy. Taking care of yourself should always come first.
And ankles are some of the most important dance joints that you have. So,
well, and there comes that mental toll with it too. Like, I can't imagine anticipating, like, trying to come back, but having to take care of yourself as well. And just the burden that comes with, am I letting my group down? Am I letting my fans down?
Yeah, that type of guilt, I think, comes with every single idol who has to take a break. Like Mina in Twice, or Yunnan in Pentagon, or Suga in BTS when he had a fucking appendicitis. Like, you have to take care of yourself. And I know there's guilt associated with taking care of yourself because you want to provide stuff for your fans, even though you're, you know, your appendix exploded.
And that sucks. And that can speak sucks. From experience.
Yes, it does.
So we're going to add a new segment just for today. And on today's episode of People Don't Fucking Learn Their Lessons.
Here we are. That's us. People don't fucking learn.
A K-pop idol last week took her own life due to cyberbullying. Fans take to the internet to express their grief and sadness and to fight online harassment. And less than a week later, people are cyberbullying Shindong of Suju, mocking his weight. And I'm baffled.
People don't
I
learn.
Shouldn't be, but I am.
People are sad when it's appropriate to be sad, and then they're back to being shitty.
I just mean that man, so he's been dealing with this for 14 years, right? Like, yes. Shindong has been an idol for 14 years.
He's also never been the thinnest, but you know
no.
what? The kid has power pipes, so why does he have to be thin?
He can dance. He can outdance half you skinny people out there.
Yes.
Other people's weight is none of your fucking business.
Also, not everybody is going to look the same. He dances, he sings, he works out. That's his average healthy body weight. There is nothing about his medical history that suggests that he's overweight. That's just him.
And body types are different, and biology is different.
Exactly. And people are just like, you're not skinny. No, motherfucker, neither am I. So, so what? If he's healthy, that's what you need to focus on, not if he's skinny.
So many people praise when, like, they see their idols on breaks and they have round faces because it shows that they've been eating well and they've been resting. And so it's fine to acknowledge, oh, look, they've gained a little bit weight when it's your favorite idol. But when it's not, then you're allowed to comment on somebody else's weight like it's any of your concern. And a lot of people say that it's about, they're concerned about his health. But again, the dude dances, the dude sings, the dude is under a management company. He still has people telling him what he can and can't do. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he is not out there gorging himself, taking horrible care of himself. He's still dancing. Like you said, he is still working out. This is just his body type, and y'all are fucking annoying. So moving on from there, GOT7 recently announced a comeback, and they just started dropping shit fast.
Left and right.
It was like, we're coming back, and here is everything. They announced that they are coming back on November the 4th.
November 4th.
They look fantastic. My friend Lisette, who is at LOML, love of my life, _Twan on Twitter, said that we need an If You Do 2.0 comeback where we get like an angsty, sexy GOT7. And damn it, she is correct. Like, we have had a lot of soft, we have had a lot of goofy green screen. I am ready for like sexy, angsty GOT7.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Give it to me. Also, they are dropping their reality show, which is called Hard Carry. They're doing Hard Carry season 2.5.
What?
And yeah, I guess it's just going to be a mini season. And that will be airing starting on November 13th.
It's on VLive.
On VLive. And then in, holy shit, I'm so excited news.
She's very excited for Wavy to come back.
They're coming back. I literally last week tweeted, I had like seen Wavy's coming back in October. And I tweeted last week, I said, I want to sue whoever told me that Wavy was coming back in October. And I stand corrected. I've never been so happy to be wrong because Wavy is fucking coming back in October.
In October. And how many days are there left in October?
Not a lot.
So it'll be soon.
So it'll be soon. I'm sure by the time we get this out, it will already be released. The interesting thing that they're doing, though, is they're doing a two-part release. So the teaser photo that shows releases dates of the images, etc., is they are releasing the music video on the 29th. Mm-hmm. Then there are more teasers. And then on November 4th and 5th, there's just two question marks.
Huh.
So I don't know what the fuck they're prepping us for, but I'm fucking ready. I'm so stoked for Wavy. Like, I can't even begin to explain.
It'll be nice for Wavy to have music that's theirs and not just the Chinese version of NCT songs.
Well, their second album was all theirs.
Right, but even still, they're still in the show.
You're right. On October 25th, Super M The Beginning will begin streaming. I have not seen details as to where. All I have seen is that is the release date. I know it was postponed after the news of Sully, and so that is what they have pushed it back to, is October 25th.
And what is that?
I have no idea.
But like, but is it like...
I think it's supposed to be a series.
Of like them of like debuting? Them,
yeah, I think the whole process behind Super M and the meeting and debuting and all of that kind of stuff.
I wonder how long that's been in the works. It had to have been like a long time, right?
Right. Well, so I think it was back in early summer that it was revealed that something was in the works. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really interested to see, because you know, you'll always be able to tell by like hair color what era the guys were all together in. And I mean, what if this has been a thing for years and we just...
I bet it has been. We were talking about in the last episode that BTS did not pave the way. They did not. But they were a definite and final catalyst to propel K-pop into America. And so I bet Lee Soo-man was just waiting for it to happen. He's like, all right, we got America. Let's go. Avengers of K-pop. Let's do it. I bet it's been in his folder of tricks for years, and he can just now do it. And he's so excited.
I want to see the person who said, oh my God, I have a fucking idea. I want to know who sat there and said, what if we did this?
I need to be that person. Here's a job for you, Twitter. Find me the job of the idea person at an entertainment agency. I want to be the person who sits at a desk and is like, you know what would be fucking cool? If we did this, 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 and this. Or maybe if we dropped acid and named a song Zimzalabim. Or then...
Are you going to shit on Zimzalabim's title every single episode? Because so far, you are 5 for 5 or 4 for 4. What episode are we on?
I think we're technically on 5.
You are just at almost every episode.
Is this an excuse for me to do acid? I don't know. But the point is still there.
Zimzalabim.
Jesus.
I'm going to do it every time you mention that song.
Ugh.
Okay, moving forward, Eric Nam is dropping an entirely English song on October 30th and then a full English album in the month of November. He has not released a date yet, but super stoked to hear Eric Nam's new song.
I love Runaway in English.
Yes, it's so good.
And it was funny because I heard Runaway in English first and I memorized it in English first and didn't realize that it was one of those that he posted dual. And so then I heard it in Korean, and I was like, what? Wait, what?
You were confused.
Who is this?
That's funny. Mm-hmm. So Psy announced both Hyuna and Edan will be debuting with P Nation on the same day.
What are our theories for that?
They wanted it to be a competition.
Oh, you're damn right they did. And I bet you they brought that idea to him. They're like, hey, we want to see who's better.
Oh, absolutely. So get your streaming devices ready. November 5th, you're ready to stream whatever favorite half of the couple that you are. What half are you voting for?
I'm probably voting for Edan.
And see, I've been a Hyuna stan since I got back into K-pop. Like, she has been like one of my top K-pop queens.
And she's awesome, but I don't know.
I also really want to see Edan succeed after everything that happened.
That too. I have a very terrible, terrible confession. Yes, it involves Hyuna. Don't hate me, Twitter, but I follow her on Instagram and she's beautiful and whatever, but I always hate her shoes.
That's
And anyway, and so that's
your confession. That's your big secret. I thought you were gonna be like, she's great, but I also like, I don't know. I was ready for you to be like, I hate her face, and
face is fine.
it
It's her shoes. I always hate her shoes. And every single picture she takes, I'm like, oh God, your shoes are horrible. But and so
I cannot right
that's why I'm
now.
voting for Edan. Don't hate me.
Jeanette,
Sorry.
you don't get my vote because your shoes are weird.
They are weird, man.
I'm dying.
Everything else about Hyuna is awesome. She's got tattoos, she's got a poodle, she's got Edan, and like and everything else is awesome.
She's got Ina.
It's just her fucking shoes.
I was not ready for that.
Good. Good.
And then last but not least, as far as news goes for this week, no dates yet, but YG did announce a Blackpink comeback for November.
I want
So
YG to treat Rosé better.
I want them to treat all of them better.
I want them to like get their shit together.
Just because you're a rosé bias, which I
You're
mean,
right.
same.
No, I mean YG is going down like a
Oh yeah.
sinking ship.
But after, the whole controversy with Winter, then there's the whole thing going on with Burning Sun and Big Bang. And Blackpink is, not to say they don't have other groups, but like Blackpink is kind of there.
One of the biggest girl groups right now, and they are
And they yet to have a
mistreating
full album.
them, yeah.
They get treated like crap.
And then within the group, there's rumors that they're like alienating Rosé, because the other three members of Blackpink all have endorsement deals that YG set up for them, and Rosé does not. And her father even tweeted about it because she was
Jesus.
being left out. And fans are up in arms about it, and she's gone on record and she was like, no, everything's fine, I'm feeling fine, and everything we'll figure it out. But the internet is not convinced, and neither am I.
Well, with good reason. With great reason to not trust somebody in YG, why would we?
God, at this point I don't trust any entertainment agency, not even Big Hit, whom I love. Not even P
Who I
Nation,
love.
whom I also like a lot.
I mean, there's really, you just always have to keep your guard up. You're going to be let down by these management companies in one way or another. It's going to be a constant stream of disappointment. You just have to accept that when you get into the K-pop world.
I mean, it's a business first, and I know that. But sometimes,
But
even
you're
then,
working with human beings.
well, you're right. But even then, sometimes I question their business decisions. And I'm like, that cost you money. Why would you do that?
You mean like waiting until the fourth quarter to release anything EXO related when that was their biggest sales for the entire year, SM Entertainment 2018? Gotcha. So, real quick, gotta just throw this in here right here right now before
Right here, right
and
now.
sorry. So, we've wrapped up Blackpink's coming back in November. Cool. ATEEZ literally just tweeted that in February 2020 they are dropping a world tour.
Oh, Lord.
So,
I was gonna say that that's far away, but it's actually not that far away.
it's not that far
That's
away.
only like a couple of months, 6 months, 3 months, 4 months.
Where are we? We're almost in November, all of November, December, January, February, 4 months.
4 months until a world tour.
Which is it's crazy. This just ATEEZ is so fucking powerful. But this is their second world tour in their first year of debut. That's something to look forward to coming up.
Let's jump right on back to those comebacks before we spiral down into Wonderland.
There are so many comebacks this week.
So many.
And they're also in depth.
We covered as many as we could, and I wrote a lot about
I did
each of them.
too.
So this is gonna take a hot minute.
Let's
Let's
go.
do this. First up, Super Junior.
Super class. I've become a really big Super Junior fan all of a sudden.
I mean, they've always been solid. There's got to be a reason they've been around for 15 fucking years.
The song was a blast. I really enjoyed the choreo and the concept. It felt like it was almost like an older nostalgic K-pop song to me.
I agree
with and
that.
I've really been missing that vibe in my K-pop, and I was really glad that they gave that to me with this comeback. It felt right. It was bright. It was chaotic and fun, and it just felt right.
I really wish I worked in that office.
Same.
I wish I could just throw an entire ream of paper at an idol.
Amazing. But yeah, I have really enjoyed these last couple Super Junior comeback videos, and so I say yes.
I say also. I don't have a Suju bias. I also don't know, like, who's still in Suju, technically?
That's what K-pop profiles is for.
You're right.
For those of you who don't know Super Junior, they made their official debut in November of 2005.
2005.
Under SM Entertainment. Super Junior currently consists of 10 members. Lee Took, Heechul, Yisung, Shindong, Sungmin, Yeonhyuk, Siwon, Donghae, Rayeowook, and Kyuhyun. Kyuhyun. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
And so, 10 members. They've been doing this damn thing since 2005.
Damn.
This, I just vote yes. I like it. I like it a lot. And I like that Super Junior is still a thing. I like that they can still do the damn thing despite doing it for 15 years.
I think they can still do the damn thing because they're the ones who started the damn thing.
You right.
Now, which one is the one who got married? Ah, here it is. Sungmin. Yeah. He got married to a musical actress, Kim Sa-eun, in 2014, and then went to the military in 2015, got out in 2016, and then because ELFs opposed him and his marriage so much, he sort of unofficially left in 2017.
But he's still listed as an active member.
Right, unofficially.
Weird.
Yeah, everybody was mad because he got married in secret. After he got married, he was like, ta-da, I'm married. And they're like, the fuck? Which I have no problem with. Go get married. I bet she's the love of your life. But you know how fans are. Assholes.
Didn't Taeyang from Big Bang get married in secret too?
Yes. I think at this point, any idol who's gotten married has gotten married in secret.
I mean, you feel it. You got to do what you got to do.
You don't. Hey, if you love that person and you want to do that and they're comfortable with, you know, living that life with you, go fucking for it.
Like, right? Do the damn thing. Do it. I keep saying do the damn thing. Just do it.
Just do it. It's like when EXO went on that show, the host asked them about getting married in the future and fans booed them about getting married in the future. Yeah. And he was like, they have to get married eventually.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you expect them to look this way in like 30 years? Are you still going to be their fan in 30 years when they're single because you wouldn't let them get married? Like,
it just doesn't make sense.
People
no.
aren't thinking in the future. They're treating them as idols and not humans, and they're dudes and they want girlfriends. So I'm like, poor Kai. Poor Kai needs a girlfriend that will stay with him this time.
Have you heard the rumors that apparently people think Kai and Jennie are still dating? They're just doing it secretly because of everything that happened?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
So essentially when they went on Ellen and Ellen was like, we got to know, are all of you single? And Mark was like, why do y'all always ask us that question? But like someone isolated each member and every single one of them, like, looks at Kai before they're all like, yeah, we're all single. Yeah, we're all totally
absolutely
single.
Absolutely, all single. Definitely.
Taeyang is just, like, super single.
Oh, my gosh.
But I really genuinely hope Kai and Jennie are still fucking dating.
Okay, I say this. We have Hyuna and Yidan. They're a power couple. They are awesome. They are the pinnacle. But I wish there were more couples in K-pop. I loved Baekhyun and Taeyang. Because she's also kind of extra and he's extra and they were cute together and I'm mad that they broke up. Or Kai and Crystal or Kai and Jennie. Kids had a lot of girlfriends.
Well, and apparently the whole two that he's had.
Yeah, exactly. That's apparently, a lot for an idol.
That's true. Apparently in Cube, there was, after the Hyuna and Edan news broke, it like, there was a wave of idols dating scandals. Like, I say scandals. It was like, apparently like Cube was like, and yes, we can confirm that Hui and this member of, I think it was a member of CLC, did date, but they actually broke up. And it was that Yuto and this member of this female group were dating, but they've already broken up too. So it was like, okay, yes, we let our idols date. We just try to keep it on the down low, but they've already all broken up, so shut up.
Man.
But
what a hard life that must be.
I can't imagine like having to get married in secret and then like being asked to leave my job because I got married. But you know what? The LGBT community exists, so.
You're right. You know what's worse? Having rumors about you dating an idol and it destroying your life, even though they're not true. Jungkook.
Yeah, we'll go down that rabbit hole one day because that whole thing is bullshit. Next, we're going to talk about One the Nine.
One the Nine. Contestants from a survival show called Under 19. And as you can imagine, they're all under the age of 19.
What?
I almost didn't watch the music video because I knew in my heart that they were all underage and I am much older than 19 and I didn't want to set myself up for failure, but you know what? I did it anyway and I did it for you, so you can't get mad at me.
There were a couple in there that were like really cute and I low-key hate how they make this like everyone who is so young look like attractive because like give them cute concepts and I get it, that's not like the point, but they, I don't know, I personally know people my age who would have no problem talking about the youngest members of these groups in a sexual way. And it really bothers me that there are people who are so okay with that because the youngest members of the group is like 17.
And he was
very handsome, but you know, he's also a
17,
child.
17, yeah. The interesting thing about One the Nine is their contract is for 12 months. 12 months. It's until they're not 19 anymore, which I think is interesting because we are very used to slave contracts in K-pop, you know, the 13-year contracts that EXO started out with. 12 months. So we'll see what happens after 12 months. For this comeback, though, this song was called Blah Blah. For being so young, I'm very impressed with their level of performance. There's something really nice about a guy who can sing confidently in his chest voice, just like there's something sweet about a dude who can use his falsetto really well. In this instance, I really liked that they can put that power behind their chest voice in the chorus, and it definitely helps keep their voices really steady as they go through like really big choreo moves in the chorus. It was great that they just all yell at the same time, "You're breaking my heart!" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're just a child."
I didn't mean to. You'll move on. You're right. Young.
I really liked the dance formations. I'm a sucker for choreography. I liked the variety, and they're not just like, you know, in a V formation or like in staggered lines. There were some really complex spacings that involved like group A, group B, and there was like an arm link during the bridge. I'm always on the lookout for something really special choreography-wise, like that connect and transfer in BTS's DNA or in Double Knot by Stray Kids where they all link arms. I think that kind of stuff is really cool. In terms of music video, I couldn't really tell you what it was about. It was really kind of ambiguous, look at my pretty face video.
I think it was more of an aesthetic video. I think that was the whole point of it. It was very much like I got a clash of Runaway by Pentagon and All Night by Astro, which are two totally different aesthetics, and they just kind of meshed them together.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked really well, but I think it was more so of just an aesthetic video.
Yeah. We've talked about music videos not having to make sense. They don't. But me personally, I prefer theory-based music videos over the, you know, watch me touch my lips and make you swoon kind of shit.
You're just waiting for the TXT and Monsta X section of this podcast.
I'm so excited. I am so excited.
But first, we have to talk about Muist.
Bye.
Pledis group that debuted in 2012. Uh-huh. In 2018, Minhyun went and debuted with 101 for a year, so the group promoted as Newest W for Waiting.
We talked about that.
We did. This was a cute video. It wasn't anything special, in my opinion.
So the trailer for the video was the softest thing I have ever seen in my whole damn life. Like, just the amount of pie in this video was crazy. I didn't really like the choreo in it. It didn't seem to fit the rest of the theme, which is like a real soft boy romantic crush vibe. He literally scoops popcorn out of the clouds. Like, it's soft as shit. It's super sickly sweet. But I'm thinking, like, maybe Newest wanted a break, because I know their last couple comebacks have been pretty dark. So, you know, sometimes you just gotta skip an era. In terms of song, it was catchy.
It was okay.
It felt very familiar, like what we've heard from Newest before. I would classify it as great background music. I don't think it would be one that I like searched for, but it was, you know, it was middle of the pack.
Right. And I can 100% agree with every single one of those statements. So, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Just didn't stand out as anything special. Now, Abby, we can get into it. We can do it. We can talk about TXT. So, for those of you who don't know, TXT is Big Hit's second project after their success with BTS. And Abby has been stoked for this comeback since the trailer dropped for it.
You don't understand. Okay, so TXT stands for Tomorrow Together. Whatever. They debuted this year. Whatever. It's great. the cool thing about TXT is that they don't have any set position. It changes with each comeback. So he could be a rapper one comeback, and then the main vocalist another comeback. I really like that. I think that's awesome. Cherry Bullet did that as well. And they're a girl group that you should also stan. But about TXT, it's a fucking Harry Potter comeback, and I fucking told you it would be, and I was right.
Nobody said that you were going to be wrong.
The song is called Meet Me at Platform 9 3/4. All right. Anyway, my professional assessment is it is very BTS reminiscent. And I know people are going to get mad.
People are going to get so mad at us for saying that.
But that's because it's Big Hit. And Big Hit employs the same producers for BTS that they do for TXT. That's just industry thing.
The same can be said about SM. That we said the exact same thing with Jopping. Was Jopping was, you could tell it was an SM song.
Exactly.
You can tell an EXO song. You can tell an NCT song. You can tell a BTS song.
And that's just a music industry thing. People leave their fingerprints in their notes. It's never going to go away.
And it's not even necessarily the sound. It's not even the sound that was similar. It was I described it as Harry Potter Breakfast Club.
I loved it.
It was it was very reminiscent in a lighter way of Run and I Need You, where it's the kids, the rebel kids hanging out with their friends and needing to rely on their friends.
I very much liked the high school vibe, seeing as they're still fucking children. I think they're doing a really good job at keeping them as kids because they are young. Their Machiné is for 2002. Like, he is a child.
That is 17 like, years old.
You're right. It's kind of like NCT Dream.
Nope, that's not. Is that right?
I don't know.
2002? I'm sorry. Yes, that is 17 years old. And it is like NCT Dream, you were saying?
It's kind of like NCT Dream. Like, they are younger and they don't do sexy, you know, comebacks. This music video and the dance part specifically really cemented for me that TXT was its own K-pop group and they're not just BTS's like Dosangs. Like, they're their own shit. They have their own talent. They have their own uniqueness. And they put in the work, and you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
I love Big Hit and what they do with music videos because they're all super heavy theory conspiracy based. I love it.
Oh, everything is is going to be tied together in one way or another.
I live for it. I eat this shit up.
You really do.
One of the things that I really wanted to talk about was the fire symbolism. And I think that the fire stood for potential. So when Yeonjun looks at something, he sets it on fire, but he's scared of it. So that's why he doesn't wear the glasses. And then they go even as far as to like go look for ways to put out the fire. Like, there's a book in the library that says how to put out fires to keep it from happening again because he's scared of his potential. But in the end, he looks at the door that they find in that alternate universe, and then they bask in the glow of it. It's like he's finally accepting it, even if they're in that alternate universe, what he's capable of doing. Ugh, it's so good.
Can we discuss something that really bothered me, though, about the video?
Yes, we can.
And it was in the alternate universe when, like, okay, so there's the door in the swimming pool, right? Like, they're being kids. They're being kids fucking around in a school after hours and goofing off and swimming in their clothes. And It was super fun. Like I said, it was Breakfast Club. And then all of a sudden, it was Harry Potter Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And, like, there's the door. And all I could think about was, how the fuck are they going to get back up?
Like, maybe they're not.
Because they drop down and to get back up, you're going to be underwater again. And like, how are you going to get up there? And how's the last person going to get up there, even if you give each other a boost? And I know that's so stupid, but like the second I saw it, I was like, oh, how are they going to get back up there? And maybe that's the mom in me because they're kids. I was like, I must go protect. And so,
maybe that they won't. Maybe they won't go back.
They're just moving forward. And the song. The song, of course, like, so the translation of the Korean title of the song is Meet Me at Platform 9 3/4. And then the English title is Runaway.
Runaway, yeah.
And this song, I mean, the translation boils down to, it's talking about running away with someone you love. But I also, in the very same way, like, and again, I hate to continue to put it back towards BTS, but in the same way with, you know, it's, to me, I got a very big friends forever friendship kind of love vibe. Mm-hmm. I got that you have to rely on your friends to get through. Because at the beginning of the video, there's one with the finger, puts a Band-Aid on. At the end of the video, takes it off after he's been with his friends all night and he's healed. Like, metaphoric much? Like, that is... The focus on the fire was interesting as well. I loved the fireworks and the wands and the aesthetic of it all. The video was super fun aesthetically, but I also just really loved the overall feeling of, man, you got to rely on people.
Yeah.
And like being with your friends can make you feel so much better.
And having someone to rely on is one of the most important things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I thought the song was super fun.
Yeah.
As well.
Song-wise, it felt very Western to me. And just like for ATEEZ in the last episode, I couldn't really tell you why. Maybe it's the rhythm guitar. Maybe it's the background vocals emphasizing the main vocal. But I listened to it in the car again today, and I was like, oh my God, it's One Direction Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh my God. Yep. Get out of my face.
Yep, it is. It's the same type of rhythm guitar. Almost the same progression note-wise. And I was like, oh, that's why. That's why it's so into it. That's why it's so driving. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love it. I love it even more now. I'm not a huge fan of that pre-chorus bibbidi-bobbidi part, but I will stand it for the rest of the song.
I will stand it?
Yeah. There were some really cool vocal moments splashed in there. And like I said, I love their choreography. And Bomgu in the lead was just a really good choice. He's a great kid and a good performer.
All in all, we definitely say yes to this TXT comeback. This really, really solidified them as artists. Because, yes. Like, their debut with Crown was good, and then Cat and Dog was goofy and cute. But then this was, like, we're really here to do it. Like, we're here to make this music, and we're going to make an impact. And they did a great job of that.
Mm-hmm. For a while there, they were just, BTS's little brothers.
Yep.
But this is, like you said, they're there. They're here. They're going to do it. And they're not going to be overshadowed.
And they're
going to
do a great job with it.
Mm-hmm.
So great comeback, TXT. Really good comeback. And you are still so giddy over it.
I love it. I also watched a really unhelpful guide to TXT today.
Of course.
And they're hyper as fuck.
They're children. What do you expect?
I don't know, but... The next one we have, since I need to stop talking about TXT, is VAB.
I think we had a different opinion on this one, too.
We did. VAV is a 7-member group. They're under A-Team Entertainment. They've been around since 2015, and their fandom name is Vamp. And
love
I've
it.
Never wanted to, like, portray myself as anything more in my life than to be like, hey, I'm a vamp. But I've seen VAV around. They've once or twice they'll be in one of those playlists or they'll come in on my YouTube or whatever. And they just come and go. Middle of the pack, like we said earlier. At the beginning of this music video, he's counting in Spanish. And it's weird for me to listen to an Asian speaker speak anything other than an Asian language. And I know it's because I'm white, but it's also because It is. It's also because I lived
99.4%.
Oh, God. Don't remind me. Anyway, it's also because I lived in Spain. And I got to know a Chinese family who lived down the block from me who owned a store. And when I would go in and I would look at them and they would speak to me in Spanish, my brain would literally, like, disconnect. It would not compute. I'm like, what? Why are you? I could get by in Mandarin. Like, you don't have to speak Spanish to me. It was just, it did not function in my brain that they were speaking Spanish. And that, it kind of happens to me during all of the Latin comebacks. But that being said, I was already kind of in a funk when it started. And then it never picked up from that. The song doesn't seem to be as hard as the music video is making it out to be. There's not enough beat. There's not enough bass. It seems really resigned to be talking about, like, poison and death. And it seemed very Fear by 17 2.0. Or, like, not even 2.0. Copied, right?
The video was very much, very, very, very much the same. Which you can't really blame them for, because they don't usually have anything to do with that. But, I mean...
Right. You're right. I was also not a huge fan of, like, the gorilla sounds that the rapper is making during the chorus. He goes, oh, and you're like, what? are you in pain? What's happening?
Are you in pain?
Like, and then, but the ending was just as anticlimactic as the rest of the song. I'm not a fan. I like most of the things that VAB does, but I won't be adding it to anything. I didn't even really want to finish it the first time. So
I think the problem with it is, one, you were obsessed with I'm Sorry.
I loved I'm Sorry by VAB. I loved it. I played it all the time. And then this...
I still play it all the time. And
it's really good.
This was just different. And I actually, other than the Gorilla O's, I really liked the song. I liked the beat. I enjoyed the choreography. The rap line was really great. I'm going to kidnap one of the rappers, the one that had the lip ring. I think his name was
Ano.
I'm going to kidnap the rapper Ano and just keep him because I like immediately fell in love with him. Hey, but it wasn't a leader this time.
Look at that. That's first.
But it was a rapper. So, but I don't know. There was just something about it that I did really enjoy about it.
Maybe it's because I was expecting Fear by 17 and I wasn't getting that level of intensity.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, something about, I don't want to say simplicity because it's not like it was a simple song. It's not like it was a light song, but there's something about it that, I don't know, sometimes songs just hit right, and this one just did for me, other than those damn gorilla O's.
He really does sound like a gorilla, guys. He does.
I wish I could remove those O's, because otherwise this would have been probably my favorite comeback of the week.
I might have liked it more, honestly.
So.
You don't know what my favorite comeback of the week was, though?
What was it?
It was fucking Bomb by Alexa. We gon' drop it like a bomb.
By Alexa, I had no idea who she was, and now I want to know everything about her.
Listen, she was born in Oklahoma. She is half Russian, half Korean, and she is
badass.
Fucking gorgeous.
She really is. Mm-hmm.
She was a contestant on Produce 48, and she ranked 82nd. I don't know if that's high or low, because I've never watched Produce 48. But then she won the grand prize for Cube and Soompi's joint talus competition called Rising Legends Season 2. She won in 2017. And so she's been waiting this whole time, building up her shit, and finally debuted this month. And hot damn, she
is. Hot damn.
Okay, first of all, she is hot. Second of all, she is an alto. And I say fuck yes. And third of all, she can fucking dance. All right? Not only does she dance, she dances in industrial metal high top latex boots, and I enforce it.
Mm. I was not ready for this, and you'll send me random stuff sometimes, and sometimes it's a really big hit, but I figured like you were going to make me talk about this one, otherwise you wouldn't have sent it. Mm-hmm. And you ended up, before I even watched it, you mentioned it like two or three more times during the week before I finally sat down and watched it. And just like my notes on this just says, Alexa, fuck yes, just yes, 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 yes. That is that many yeses. It's just I said, she's a fucking powerhouse. Mm-hmm. The music was badass. She is a robot at the beginning of it. And that is one robot I would be completely fine with taking over the world.
Yes.
The choreo and the song flow was all freaking fantastic. It's definitely for me one of those like only when I need to get really hyped up for something songs.
Yeah.
It was a lot on the ears. Especially in the chorus, but so that's how I feel about Chain by NCT. Even with NCT being my alt group, I cannot listen to Chain because there's just too much going on in the song, like musically at one time. Like there's something, sounds like someone's rattling something at the beginning of the song over Taeyong's rap, and then like that just continues on. But this had just the right amount of a little bit too much. Does that even make sense?
I mean, yes, but I'm also all for it. As long as the layering works, I'll dive right into it.
This was badass.
Yeah, it was. There are a lot of Russian influences in this video, which I really like. Mainly the industrial plant and like her super industrial boots. How the fuck does she run in those, first of all?
She's a sorcerer.
Yes, she is, let me tell you. Russia in general has a super huge industrial metal underground scene, and I like that she was pulling those influences, even if they're subtle. Her attitude about it also, she was just like, fuck all of y'all. She's going to do whatever she wants. The interesting thing about her is it wasn't signed under a traditional label. She was signed under a tech company who decided that they wanted to have an idol.
Amazing.
And so she is now owned by a company in Korea who's, you know, kind of like Samsung. She's
kinda
an idol.
Weird.
Exactly. But the cool thing about it is that the first line in the song was her saying, "I can't wait anymore. I'm tired of waiting." Because she had won that competition, and then nobody signed her after that, even though she won. I think it was symbolic of her starting off as a robot. She was something that was mass produced. And then she came back to life and she said, "I'm done waiting for y'all." And she just fucking annihilated us. The other thing that I really wanted to touch on is that this song, I swear, was choreographed for dudes. And you know what you can tell? You can tell because there's an intensity to the movement and where the movement is localized. So a lot of girl groups, when they do choreography, it's all in the arms. And when dudes do choreography, a lot of it is in the feet. This has a lot of levels associated with her choreography. She is on the ground. She is rolling. She is doing the hips. And she actually doesn't do a lot with her arms, you know? It's very heavy in the bottom part of you choreography. And I think it blew everything out of the water. I think she is going to dominate everything, and I'm so excited for what anything else that she does.
She's badass. I was very, very impressed for not knowing anything about this person to being like, mind blown. I will worship the ground you walk on.
Absolutely.
So my favorite comeback this week, though, that we were going to talk about is going to be Day Freaking Six.
Day Freaking Six.
So Day Six, for those of you who don't know, is a K-rock group.
Love it.
Five-member group. They debuted in September of 2015 with JYP Entertainment. Members are Sungjin, Jay, Young-K, Wonpil, and Dowoon. So one thing I love about them is they actually play their own instruments throughout their videos. It's like, and like their concerts. So they're an actual band. They're not just a K-pop group. I love Day Six. I got into Day Six in the Shoot Me era. Have not like really hit it off with the last couple comebacks they have had, but this one nailed it for me. And let me tell you why, because this is a very early 2000s pop punk song.
Which is what drives Trinity's life.
it made me feel like I was 16 years old, slamming doors, pissed off at my parents again, like crying through my toothache eyeliner.
Wow.
It was very punk rock nostalgic feel, but the video was a black and white Beatles aesthetic. Like, you know, like the old school Beatles videos where they're playing concerts with their little suit jackets on, and then mixed with the punk rock feel, you're like, what is happening? And then it flips to very modern, where we get Wet Day Six, which was super rude and unnecessary. I did not ask for it. But I love the variety and having all of them being vocalists. Like every single member of the group sings. Dowoon sings while drumming, which is badass. Wonpil's voice is one of my favorites in the K-pop, K-rock industry. He just has such a different tone to his voice, and it's awesome for everything that Day Six does. Sungjin hitting that sweet chaos, chef's kiss. Mwah. And then he like had a tiny bit of rasp during his verse, and it was sexy. And then Jay hitting his high notes was a mwah, mwah, another chef's kiss. And so also like they are just super talented. Their voices just fit whatever style of song they choose to do, and it's awesome. I was hype about this comeback. I love Day Six, and the chorus was so cool. Just that sweet chaos, like the high and the holding it out. Oh, it was so good. Oh, this comeback was so
great.
Good
rasp.
Sungjin, yeah, he's rasp. The leader. He's amazing. Oh,
you know who
loved it
wasn't amazing.
It's hold on, we can't say that.
Can we not? Because it wasn't amazing.
To us, just because it was not our style. So we're talking about ICU. I think I got further into the video than you did.
I watched 3/4 of it before I had to turn it off.
And so here's the problem that we had with ICU is it's not that I'm sure they are very talented girls.
Yes, I'm sure they worked really hard on that, and I acknowledge their work.
They are. I mean, I can't debut as a K-pop idol. I wouldn't have that talent and dedication.
I have to lose a lot of weight for that.
This was the style of K-pop that makes everybody talk shit on K-pop.
Yes.
The cutesy maid outfits with pigtails
and bubblegum, and
it was just a lot. It was a little too much. High pitched, no change in their tones and inflection. Choreography was very basic, of just the hands kind of bopping around, them spinning in little circles. I'm sure they're very talented.
Yes.
I'm sure they are very talented. I could not finish this video.
I had to turn it off. And we are very used to the heavy dudes, Rookies and BTS and EXO and Red Velvet and Twice and Girls' Generation, and they go hard all the time. And then there's this.
Like, even Twice, who has the tendency to lean more towards the bubblegum side of it, is like hardcore compared to what this group was.
Right, right. I will not. Unless they do, like, maybe for their next comeback, they're going to flip the switch entirely. I'll listen to it.
We'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot. We will always give it a shot. But
this just didn't hit.
No, I honestly could not pass hard enough on it. I made outfits. Really? Really?
So, yeah, we're just going to
skip right on that.
Right on over to
Monsta X.
First of all, Abby is just now a Monsta X stan after this happened.
Honestly, ladies, what the fuck? Why have you been letting me sleep on Monsta X for this long? This is your fault.
I went to see Monsta X in concert, asked Abby if she wanted to join me, because I don't know if y'all know this or not, we don't record this in the same place. We are not in the same room when we are recording this. She is in Oklahoma, I am in South Texas. So Dallas is a great concert meeting point for us. It's where we saw BTS. Not together, though. We can't say we saw that because we fucked that up, too.
We fucked that up pretty good. We didn't know we fucked it up until the day of. We were like, okay, cool, let's go. And you're like, wait, mine's not until tomorrow. And I'm like, no, but it's today. And they're like, no,
but it's tomorrow. I still can't believe we did that. But I asked Abby if she wanted to come see Monsta X with me, and she said no because she didn't like them because they were too rap heavy.
Also, I don't love concerts anyway.
You don't, but you're still usually willing to go with me if I ask you to go with me. So their actual comeback isn't until the 28th. This was just kind of a big old surprise. Mm-hmm. And it's the prequel to Dramarama. I always have to make sure I'm saying it right. So first of all, holy shit, this is a really in-depth spoiler to that video. And it starts with a car crash. Then it flashes back to Monsta X hanging out, singing karaoke, having fun. Hyungwon's parents pick him up. Then there's a car crash. Turns out Hyungwon's parents die in it. He wakes up in the hospital surrounded by Monsta X and then finds out. Then it shows him alone in his house. And then the rest of the boys show up to keep him company. They all go to bed after some time of hanging out. Hyungwon's looking like he's feeling better. Because, oh my God, thank you for my friends for being here. He wakes up at one point, goes to his dad's study and finds a watch. Turns the dial, sending him to a parallel dimension where he is essentially drowning in water. The rest of the guys kind of wake up. They're looking for him. There's a flash on a bunch of pills, a bathtub being filled with water, and then it throws in clips of the Dramarama video. So one interesting correlation that I found was that in Dramarama, there's a line that Hyungwon is singing that says, "Let me open my eyes with you in my arms," as he's standing in a street with car headlights coming towards him. So then the Dramarama video, if you haven't seen it, there's lots of car wrecks. All the other members of Monsta X, Juhyun's in a car wreck at one time. Kiyun flashes back several times to try to stop the accident. At the end of the video, it shows Ki-hyun in the car wreck, and Joo-hyun has switched places with him, and he's working in the shop that Ki-hyun was working in at the beginning. Lots of flashing backs with this prequel. It kind of puts a theory in place that Hyung-won has obviously gone back in time to try to save his parents. My theory is that his father's research was everywhere in the room. There's maps, there's the whole, like, the cliche, like, papers on a bulletin board with string tied around thumbtacks.
Conspiracy map.
Right, a conspiracy map. If there was one watch, it's likely that there was more, because all of the other members of Monsta X throughout the Dramarama video all have this watch that is shown Hyung-won's father wearing in the prequel video.
I would just like to say that it's a massive fucking watch.
It is a huge watch.
Who would wear that?
If it gave you the ability to travel through time?
Okay, yeah, but like regularly, that's a huge fucking watch.
So, I mean, they're in various places throughout the video, and it makes you wonder if they're undercover. Min-hyuk is at a coffee shop kind of looking around. Ki-hyun's working in like a pawn shop type place, and someone comes and drops a watch off at the window. Maybe they went back in time to try to find Hyung-won. Like, they figure out what he was doing, and they go back. And now, this is all my theory. This is literally just at this point me just bullshitting what I took from this video. And so it just opened up a lot more theories, because Dramarama made no sense to me. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why is there time travel? And now with this prequel, it's like they're going back in time, and it's like they're trying to change things. But I think it's that whole metaphor of you can, even if you could go back and change things, like, it's like the butterfly effect, right? Like, mm-hmm. A butterfly flaps its wings in one place and causes a typhoon across the world. So you can try to go back and you want to change things and make things different, but would they change things after all? After how many times Ki-hyun goes back to stop Joo-hyun from being in the accident, then at the end of the video of Dramarama, Ki-hyun's in the accident. So I don't know. I just feel like, and then there's, you know, at one point, Ki-hyun's chasing the car before it wrecks, and Hyung-won's just standing there watching. So, like, it makes me wonder, has he tried to go back in time so many times to change things that he just realized there's nothing he can do, so he just watches things happen, even though these are his friends and he cares about them?
Despondent.
Like, yeah, like, he, you know, he tried to save the lives of two people, and now it's forever changed and potentially ruined the lives of his other six friends who were trying to be there for him. Oh. So, you know, in the aspect of he wanted to go back and change one thing, and instead, it changed the lives of like six people instead of just accepting something
everything
that sucked. Yeah. Instead of accepting something that sucked and relying on those people that you had there with you, you now kind of fucked everything up.
Yeah.
So, Twitter question of the week, if you had the ability to go back in time and change something, would you? For me, what I took away from it, the whole thing, was the past is the past, and you can't change it.
Right.
If something had been different, it might have fucked your whole world up in a completely different way. And it's just interesting to see. I mean, it was just interesting. I was not expecting a prequel to Dramarama. I'm really glad I got it now, though, because I feel like the Dramarama video makes 100% more sense to me now.
I have also been binging Monsta X since watching it. And I am pleasantly surprised. And I now have a bias, and I could have had him all along, but you kept him from me.
I did no such thing. That was on your own accord. You made that decision to think that you hated them.
Hate is a strong word. Just really did prefer.
But this was amazing. You loved it. You were freaking out because you love anything that gives you any form of an AU or a storyline.
Damn right. I sent it to her and I said, have you fucking watched this yet? Watch it right now. It was great.
And then I did.
And then she
did. So, stan all these groups we've talked about. I'm sorry this was such an in-depth episode, but I'm also not.
How about this? Just stan everyone.
We just had a lot to say.
How about PSA? Let's all be really quality human beings. And not cyberbully anybody about their weight or anything otherwise. And just stan everybody, because everybody is talented. Even ICU.
Even ICU. Well,
let's just stan everyone.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. As always, you can find us on Twitter at K-Pop Parade, K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D. I always have to spell it out so you don't add an extra P in there.
And every week we're doing a mashup of the week and a music video of the week. So if you want us to feature a certain music video that you thought was awesome, just let us know.
And we are always, always willing to answer. If you ever have anything you want us to talk about or you want us to address or anything like that, tweet us on Twitter. That is the best way to get a hold of us, unless you know us personally and feel like texting us. But 99% of the time, I'm telling you, tweet us on the Twitter and
tweet us.
It's not Hwasa. I wonder how long we're going to make. We're going to make that joke.
Honestly, we're going to make that joke until the end of time.
Oh my God, murder didn't get referenced in this episode. Murder.
Murder.
So once again, guys, my name is Trinity.
And my name is Abby.
And we will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.